Beautiful song, isn't it? Greetings this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Precious Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we want to sing that song this morning, if I can find mine here, and just want to encourage you sisters to lift your voice up a bit more, because we're doing it back and forth, and if all these strong men over here give their all and you're kind of down like this, it won't be balanced right. It should be a good strong sound on the ladies' side as well as on the men. And please bear with me, because I don't know a lot about music, but In this little song, the second time where we're all saying it together, it goes up a little bit. You know, at the end it says, "And he shall lift you up, and he shall lift you up." You got that? Don't ask me what notes those are, because I don't know. Praise God. Shall we try? Let's stand and sing it, huh? From our hearts, in the spirit of the words that were breathed out by the Holy Ghost. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And He shall lift you up. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. Let's pray. Draw nigh, dear Lord, draw nigh to us this morning. Lord, we tremble before you. We know that we stand before the throne of the Almighty God. We're not here in this building, Lord. We are before the throne of the Almighty God of the universe. And we're here to hear your word, Lord. Oh, speak your word from your throne this morning to our hearts, dear God. We commit this session into your hands, Lord. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to look at some of the heart issues in discipleship, some of the foundation stones which hold up the rest of the building. Very important that we view this whole matter of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ in the right perspective. We must get first things first. And I hope, young people, that you will keep these things in proper order all this week, because there are many different things that are being said. You're getting teaching from many different directions and many parts of the Bible, but I assure you that the heart of every preacher and teacher that is giving you instruction, all of them, their heart's desire is that your heart would be fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ soundly. And then from there, out of that heart will flow all the many different things that you're being taught this week. I hope you will keep all of that in perspective. The issues of the heart is where it all begins. It is a matter of root and fruit. Amen? We will be discussing practical issues all through the week, and that is the fruit. But you can go home with a lot of good ideas, a lot of new resolves, a lot of fresh concepts to try. But if you don't get down to dealing with the root issues in your own heart and your life, it will end in frustration and discouragement and despair. And there are young people who have been to Bible schools like this, who went home without the work being done deep in the heart with resolve. And they're not here today. They're not here. So we want to strike the tuning fork four times today, looking at heart issues, issues of the heart. There are four of them that we will look at this morning, and the first one is the spirit of a learner. The title of my message is The Spirit of a Disciple. I wasn't sure if I could take these 16 points and fit them into enough into categories to give titles to the next four messages, but I have been able to do that. And so this morning it is the spirit of a disciple. And the first point on that is the spirit of a learner. A disciple has the spirit of a learner. And if I may put it in the form of our confession, the confession of our discipleship, it will go like this. I have the spirit of a learner. I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have the spirit of a learner. I want to learn. I have not arrived. I have many needs. And I need to learn everything that I can. This is the spirit of a disciple, young people. This was not a new concept in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ when He walked upon the earth. If you remember, these words were used, the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees. It was not a new concept, this master, teacher, learner, follower concept. It was not a new concept, and even Paul, you know, gave his testimony that he was a disciple of Gamaliel before he came to the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was also a disciple. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel and learned from him. He was his disciple, and he listened to what he had to say, and he followed him, and Gamaliel made a very good Pharisee out of Saul. But Jesus made a beautiful disciple out of Saul and turned him into the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. But even though this was not a new concept, the Lord Jesus deepened the concept as He walked upon the earth because He was God. And when God begins to speak into the hearts of men and women and says, come follow me and be my disciple, yes, He's going to deepen the concept of discipleship. And so also we will be deepening the concept of discipleship with this living God this morning as we consider these things. I think of the words of Peter, that time when Jesus said those hard words in John chapter 6. You probably learned about them already this morning. And Jesus turned to His disciples and said, will you also go away? But the disciples had the spirit of a learner, and Peter expressed all of their hearts when he said, where do we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. We have nowhere else to go. We are the learners, and You're the teacher. We're the needy ones, and You're the one that has it all. We're the empty ones, and You're the all-sufficient one. Where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And brothers and sisters, that's the way it needs to be with us also. We must have that same kind of an attitude. A learner. And by the way, a learner is a listener, not a talker. Note that, young people. A learner is a listener, not a talker. Some time ago, we were meditating in our family devotions. We've been going through 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we came to this verse, which says, Paul was admonishing the women, he said to them, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. And as we studied that verse, we learned that the word silence there means quietness, or a quiet spirit. Let the women learn with a quiet spirit in all subjection. And as I read that and meditated upon it, in light of our subject this morning, I thought that is exactly what a disciple is. That's the spirit of a disciple. What Paul said to the women there is the spirit of a disciple. A quiet heart, which is a learning heart, with all subjection unto what I'm hearing. A disciple, the spirit of a disciple is the spirit of a learner. It is a lowly heart of one who wants to learn. And may I remind you that the Apostle John refers to himself as a learner. As he called himself the disciple many times, what he was saying was, I'm a learner. And you know, I pondered that early this morning. You know, when John wrote those words, he wrote those words after he had been walking with Jesus Christ for 60 years. He's 90 years old when he says these words. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm just a learner, the Apostle John says. We read some of the things that he wrote and we think, you're not a learner, you're a master, you're a teacher. No, John says, no, you haven't met my Jesus the way that I have. He's so far beyond me. He's so much higher than I am. He's so much deeper than I am. I'm just a disciple. I'm that other disciple. That's who I am. That's what John said. And oh, young people, if somehow we could get this one deep in our soul, you will never get away from this point. If you're going to go on with God, you're a learner, you're a learner, you're needy, you have a lot to learn, a lot to learn. Second of all, we want to look at the attitudes of a disciple, and to put it in the form of a confession of faith. Number two, we find these words coming out of our hearts. I unite my heart with the lowly attitudes of the Sermon on the Mount. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I unite my heart with the lowly attitudes of the Sermon on the Mount. And if we could turn there and just read those beautiful lowly attitudes that the Lord Jesus gave on the Sermon on the Mount. You can turn there, Matthew chapter 5. And surely this second point flows right out of and broadens from the first point. Now picture the scene. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus has been baptized in the River Jordan. The Spirit of God came upon him like a dove. The voice of God out of heaven spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He's gone into the wilderness. He was tempted of the devil for 40 days. He came out in the power of the Spirit of God, and he's done a few miracles, and all of a sudden, he's got his disciples around him. He's got their attention. They're ready to listen. You can be sure they're ready to listen. What does he say? What are the first words that comes out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus as he recognizes, "I've got my disciples' attention"? What does he say? What does he say? "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yea, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Jesus begins his teachings to his disciples by laying out before them the foundation stones of the attitudes that every disciple has. If he's truly a disciple, they will be there. If he's going to continue to be a disciple, they will be there. They were in the heart of John until the day he opened his eyes in the presence of God and saw Jesus. Those beautiful, lowly attitudes of a disciple. Now, in a day, this day that we live in, when everything is all upbeat, you know, even among Christendom today, everything's got to be upbeat, you know. You've got to have an upbeat message, and you've got to, it's happy, clappy time, you know, and everybody's got to be happy, and if the church doesn't go home happy, why, we didn't go to church, you know. But in the midst of all of those things, these words ring true out of the throne of God this morning, young people. The lowly attitudes which are listed here in the Beatitudes, the foundation stones of every true disciple, they are still the way into the reality of the blessed presence of the living God. They are still there. Doesn't matter whether everybody else out there wants to be happy, clappy, and feel good every Sunday morning. Blessed are the poor in spirit, young people. And that word, blessed, means the reality of the living God and the salvation that He gives upon everyone who is poor in spirit. Don't forget it, young people. That's what that word blessed means. It doesn't just mean happy. It's so much deeper than that. It means the reality of a living God in your life. And I'm so glad that Jesus started with those words with His disciples. And I want to start with them also, with you. Words of lowliness are not popular today, but they are the key to everything, young people. I promise you, they are the key to everything. It's a couple years ago, we did a whole series to the youth on these attitudes. I think it's called the jewel of humility. But let's just consider them briefly here this morning. Poor in spirit means to be poverty stricken. That's not just talking about somebody who has a little bit in his pocket but not enough. No, that word poor in spirit is talking about poverty stricken. Oh, the blessedness, young people, that settles down over your heart when you find yourself in that place where you say, "I have nothing. I have nothing. God will run to your aid when you have nothing. God will run to your aid. Poverty-stricken, they that mourn are those who weep and sigh and groan over their needs. Now that doesn't sound very exciting, does it? But yet, that little verse fits very much into the spirit of that little song we were singing this morning, doesn't it? Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness, James said in chapter 4. Mourning, it means what it says. It's like what you do when one of your loved ones dies. And that's a blessing. It's good. It's profitable. Blessed are the meek. The meek, the yielded, the ones who have given up, the ones who have given up to God and given up to others. Blessed are the meek. They've yielded. They have a life that is yielded to God. Young people, that's not talking about a trip to the altar where one time you get on your knees there and you say, okay, God, I give you everything. Now that's beautiful and that's right, and we'll probably ask you to do that sometime this week, but I'm telling you, that's only the beginning. It will bring a blessing upon your life if you do it in sincerity, but young people, this is something you do every day and many times in a day. If you're going to walk with God, you will do it many times in a day. It's blessed are those who have given up and given up and given up and given up. Amen? That's the way it is. These are the hard attitudes of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And basically what God is saying there is that there is in the heart of a disciple who in fact is a learner, who recognizes their need. They're always longing for more. Always longing for more. And I call it a sanctified dissatisfaction. God needs to fill our hearts with a sanctified dissatisfaction. And when I say sanctified, I mean this. There is a place where you can stand and rejoice before God in all that He's done in your heart. But yet at the same time, your heart is saying, God, more. I'm not satisfied. I'm glad for what you've done in my heart, but God, I want more. I want to be more like Jesus. I want more righteousness in my life. I want to learn more how to be a servant, Lord. I'm thankful for what you've done, but God, give me more. That's one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. And the merciful, that attitude of the merciful is one who is full of compassion and full of forgiveness. And oh, brothers and sisters, we need to learn this because we are all human beings. Amen? We are all human beings and we make mistakes and we hurt each other sometimes. Sometimes we know we do, sometimes we don't even know that we do. Oh, but blessed are the merciful, the forgiving ones. Oh, I just forgive and I just forgive you. And you don't even need to come and tell me you're sorry. I already forgive you anyway. Oh, that beautiful attitude is the heart attitude of a disciple. And the pure in heart, as we look at these attitudes, the pure in heart, I want to say to that, blessed are those who are morally pure and motivationally pure in their hearts. It's speaking of both of those. A pure heart is a heart that has been cleaned and washed by the blood of Jesus. A pure heart is a heart that is morally pure. And you'll learn more about this week. But a pure heart is also a heart that has been purified in its motives. And oh, those are things that God works on all the rest of your life. Purifying your motives. Why do I do what I do? It's a good question to ask yourself, and if you ask it sincerely and honestly before God, He'll order circumstances in your life to help you to see the answer to that very question, why you do what you do. And I can say from my own testimony, it's rather painful at times when I begin to see why I do what I do. Blessed are the peacemakers. And for this one, we'll simply say, blessed are those who take the low road of making peace wherever they go. I want to make peace. I don't want any strife. I want to make peace. Are you offended at me? I'll take the blame. I want peace. I want peace. It's the low road of one who wants to make peace with their fellow man around them. And lastly, blessed are the persecuted, those who take their persecution with no retaliation. Oh, I hope you'll grasp that one, young people. There is such a depth of fellowship and knowledge of God when you learn to take your persecutions without any retaliation, without any fighting back, with no fight in you, but a heart that just simply bows to the persecution that God has allowed to come your way. I tell you, you begin to enter into the fellowship of His sufferings, which Paul talked about. You just begin to enter in. It's deeper than that. May I say it this way, the sum total, if we could write all of these down and put them in a list, poor and the mourning and the meek and the hungry and all that, the sum total put down at the bottom of it, draw a line under it, add them all up together, and it simply says, blessed are those who live in a state of brokenness. Brokenness, young people. Covet brokenness. Covet it. Long for it. Ask God to bring you into circumstances where you find yourself all broken up inside. This is good. This is a good place to be. These are the foundational heart issues for a disciple. And this is the reason why I chose a little song for us to sing each day, because this is the foundational stone of being a true disciple. Brokenness. And oh, God does promise us reward. Reward. The reward, the reality of the living God in my heart, in my life. Now. I like the way Brother John said it. It's years ago now in a Bible school. But he said it this way. God's kingdom now. Beautiful. Not some kingdom later, although I believe there'll be more coming yet, but God's kingdom now. That's what a disciple wants. Number three. We want to look at the love of a disciple. The love of a disciple. The confession. I love the Lord Jesus with all of my heart. That is the confession of a disciple. I love the Lord Jesus with all of my heart. Thou shalt have no other loves before me. That's kind of a different way to say it, isn't it? Thou shalt have no other loves before me. Why? Because I'm God. I'm God.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 6 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at the Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear a menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.